Regan Hellier, welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's so good to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on because they call you one of the best manifestation teachers in the world. And I want to know, I guess, all about how you started in manifestation. Like, how do you become a manifestation coach and teacher?
Yeah. You know, this journey for me really started out not with some big grand vision of teaching manifestation and impacting millions of people. Like, honestly, when I started out, I was trying to figure out how do I create a life that I love. It started there. You know, I was at university, I was studying to be an architect, and I realized very early on that I was on a path that society and my parents expected me to fulfill, but it wasn't what I truly wanted, you know? So I started asking some big questions. And I started Googling, like, how do I quit my job? I didn't even have one, right? Yeah. I was trying to, like, get out of the situation that I was going into. And yeah. So that's what really opened me up to this industry and this magical world.
And so how did it begin? So you were studying architecture and then you were like, hang on, I'm not really happy with this. And how did you stumble upon manifestation? Did you go through something personal and then, you know, you began manifesting and had a personal experience?
Yeah. So actually, when I was at university, I had a lecturer who guided us through a guided visualization meditation exercise. And I'd never done anything like this before. And he was like, welcome, future architects. I want you to picture your life 20 years out from now as the architect that you're born to be. And obviously, everyone was very excited. But I saw literally the worst case scenario possible. And I realized that I was creating a life that I didn't love. And so that's when I ran out of that room and I was like, I need to figure out, like, how am I here? Why am I here, rather? And like, how do I actually create a life that I love? So as I was Googling and looking at these things, I started finding different wealth creation seminars and personal development, transformational events. And I started going, you know, I was borrowing money I didn't have. I was maxing out credit cards. I was just really committed to trying to learn and create my life, basically. And so that's what kind of threw me into that industry. And in the beginning, I was trying to change my life, but I was doing it the wrong way around. You know, I was learning all these different strategies. I was learning, like, how do you start a dot-com business? How do you trade Forex currency? I'm like, I'll learn about property investment, like all these strategies, right? Mm-hmm. And I was at a place where I was over six figures in personal debt, US dollars.
Wow.
And that was literally for coaching and education and all these courses, and nothing was working. And I really started doubting this. I was like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this, like, dream life that I'm dreaming about, right? Yeah. And one of my mentors at the time, his name was Simon. He's like 65 years old at the time. And he was like, Regan, you know, you've got this all backwards. He's like, whatever you want to create in your life, it's 80% your internal game, 80% your mindset and your energy and your inner conditioning, and then 20% all of your strategy and the action that you take. And he's like, what are you doing about the 80%? And I realized I didn't even know what that meant. And so then that spun me into a whole different world of, like, NLP and mindset and hypnosis and, like, all of this. And the minute I started shifting my internal reality combined with the action that I was taking, I actually started to manifest results. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, I get it.
Wow. So I think a lot of people listening can probably relate to investing money in what you think is the conventional method, right? Like, if you want a skill, you study that, or you pick up a course and then you max out credit cards and you want this dream life. What does your day-to-day look like now, for example, as a manifestation coach? Who are some of the people that you've worked with? And I'm just interested to hear how your day-to-day life goes now.
Yeah. Well, my day-to-day life tends to be different every day, usually, because I do travel a lot. You know, we're based in Costa Rica and we're building a beautiful neighborhood and luxury resort there as well right
now. The dream life.
Yes.
Wow.
It's so beautiful. But we also love traveling and we're on the go a lot as well. So I'm lucky that all of my work, as long as I have an internet connection, basically, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to support and help a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life. Like, there are, like, everyday people in all of my courses, and that could be everything from like high level corporates to single moms to teenagers, even everything in between, right? Mm-hmm. And then privately, you know, I've worked with some beautiful high level people, very successful people, some celebrities, and you know, I get to help people from all walks of life, because it doesn't matter what journey you're on or yeah. what you want to manifest, the principles are the same mm-hmm. and the inner work is the same.
Yes.
And it doesn't even matter necessarily if I've been through that thing or not. I know that my systems and my tools can help people navigate into their next level in whatever way that looks like for them.
And what are some success stories that you've experienced through your coaching that other you've given other people the tools? What are some success stories that have come out of some of your teachings?
There's so many. There's so many. I think like even on our website, there's like thousands of testimonials. But, you know, the things that always make me the happiest are when people just unlock something that is so meaningful for them.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of stories of people that have manifested their soulmate, for example, people that have manifested their dream jobs or a certain amount of money. You know, one of my clients, when I was first starting out on this journey and I was working with her one-on-one, her name is Robin, and she was, I think, 25 years in corporate banking.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me and she's like, I'm so good at it. I'm kind of at the top of the corporate ladder. The money's great. But she's like, I don't love it. You know, and so we helped her rewire her internal reality, find out like what actually is her sole purpose, mm-hmm. come into alignment with that, and then start manifesting that in her business. And she's now like absolutely rocking it and is out there in the world. And she's actually a part of my team now. She ended up coming on board, and she's been with us for the last 8 years or so as well, supporting other coaches, unlocking the same thing. So yeah, there are so many stories.
And if someone is watching right now and listening and they're like, oh, I've been trying to manifest more money, for example, what are some tips that you would give on how they can manifest more money?
Yes. So the first thing you need to do is get really clear on your vision, but very specific. It's not enough to say more money, because if I said, okay, well, I can give you another $20, like, is that what you want? It's probably a little more than that, right? So you need to get really clear and specific and actually ask for what you want. You know, as children, we're often not conditioned to dream big and to ask for everything that we desire. Like, we're often told to not do that and mm-hmm. to stop daydreaming and focus on something we don't want to focus on, right?
Yeah.
So you get clear on that. The next step is you want to expand your capacity to actually receive that money or that manifestation.
Okay.
So there's many ways to do this, but one of the ways that is very simple is that if that certain amount of money in step number one was already manifested, if you woke up tomorrow and it was here, then what would be your next step? What would be the vision beyond the vision, the money beyond the money, the dream beyond the dream, right?
Wow.
And it can feel a little bit like, oh, I don't even know. I was going really big on step number one. You want that feeling. You want to push past those limits. You
sounds like to Inception almost.
Yeah.
The dream within the dream.
Yes. You want to go into that next level. And then naturally as humans, this is usually for step number three where all of our blocks and limitations come up. All the stories of, well, can I do that? Or is that too much? The self-doubt, the fears, the sabotage patterns, wondering how it's going to happen, all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for step number three, you want to be aware of all of those limitations. Write them out. Bring them from your unconscious reality into your conscious awareness. And from this place, you can choose to change them. You can be like, you know what? I'm not going to give that fear any power anymore. Or I'm not going to sabotage myself in this way. Or I'm going to do this instead, right? So you start to shift your reality. The fourth step is to recode your identity. And so we don't get in life what we do, but we do get who we choose to be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everyone that was just doing a lot would have everything that they want, but that's not really the case, right?
Yeah.
And so when you realize this, you start realizing that you can access a version of you that you can bring to the table that is more powerful and more in alignment with your manifestation than what you've been doing previously. So the way I like to think about this is you can go out into your future, say 5 years out from now, or that moment in time in your future where you've manifested the money you want, and ask, okay, when it was done, like you've achieved it, it's manifested, how does that version of you walk? How does that version of you talk?
Mm-hmm.
What do they think about? What do they act like? What do you tolerate? What do you say yes to? What do you say no to? How do you move your body? Like, get into detail with it, right?
Yeah.
And from that place, you choose to then act. And then the fifth step is to take action in your life towards your manifestation. But from that energy of being that vision of you, of knowing that it's done with total certainty that that's the vision for the money I'm manifesting, that's where I'm going. From that space, I'm going to call that person. I'm going to say yes to that opportunity. I'm going to say no to this. I'm going to do that thing.
Yeah. Wow. I guess it's not so easy to do, right? I mean, sometimes, especially in a position of lack, you know, it's difficult to step into that framework sometimes, you know.
Yeah, manifestation takes work. You know, we live in this world of instant gratification. It's like we pick up our phone, we dial the app, and the food is there in 15 minutes. Like, we're used to that in many places, right? And people are like, oh, well, I did a meditation practice for 10 minutes. I don't understand why it's not here.
It's not here.
Okay.
Where is it?
It might take some time and commitment, right?
Yes.
But good things in life do take that time and commitment, right? It's like no one goes to the gym and then, like, after one workout, they have their dream body. Like, you keep going and you focus on your goals and you show up every day from that place, right? Mm-hmm. And so I know for sure that if you're committed to it and if you create a daily manifestation practice, then it is going to move you closer. And anyone listening can literally take those five steps, write them out, and focus on them. And they can do maybe one a day, or they could do all five every single day. But if you're touching in like that, whatever we focus on expands. And so that will help them move a lot faster.
You know, I do an evening show on Virgin Radio, and I get a lot of calls from either people who have gone through a breakup, or they've been single for a while, and Dubai can be a lonely place because it is very fast-paced. How does a person manifest love? If someone is listening right now and they've had, I literally was talking to a girl last night and she said she's been single, I think, for 3 years. And I could feel that her energy was just off because she, you know, almost didn't believe in love anymore. So if someone is listening now in Dubai and they don't know how to manifest love, they haven't found the right partner, what would your advice be to them?
Absolutely. Well, they can actually take that exact system, the five steps that I went through, but focus it in on the vision for what they're calling in. But here's an advanced tip. What most people do is they focus on the type of person that they want. So let's say there's a girl and she's like, okay, well, I want the man to be this tall and with these colored eyes and in this kind of job. And we write out this, like, selection criteria, if you like, right?
Yes.
Instead of doing that, what if you were to focus on the energy that you want in the container of the relationship? Yeah. Because in relationships, there's you, there's the person, and then a third container, a third entity of you coming together with your joint energies is created energetically. And so from what I've seen is that it can be very challenging to manifest going, I want these things in a person, because sometimes the ideal person for you is right there, but you won't even see them because you're like, it has to be this way, right? Because it's from the constructs of your mind. But if you're open and you're like, you know what, I want the relationship to be nourishing, I want it to be loving, I want us to co-create in this way, I want us to travel like this, I want us to love and respect each other in this way, well, the person that's a match for that will show up, and maybe he or her will look different than what you thought that person was going to look like in your mind, right? And so I had this as well when I manifested my husband. I had just finished a relationship of 4.5, 5 years. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be single. I'm going to date Regan. I'm like really happy.
Your best life.
Yes, I'm happy to be by myself right now. But coming out of that relationship, I had the opportunity to gain great clarity on what I didn't want in the container of relationship and define, when I am ready for that relationship, here's what I want the container to look like, right? Now, I met my husband 2 weeks after ending that relationship, so be careful
what you wish for.
When you use this, because you might just get it, and you might get it on the universe or God's timing instead of the timing of your mind.
And there are a lot of skeptics with manifestation. I'm a huge believer of manifestation, but I'm going to be really honest. When I talk about it at work or with anyone else, sometimes, you know, people like manifestation, eye roll. What do you have to say to anyone who's a skeptic of manifestation?
Look, manifestation is not some woo-woo concept. It's also not some gift that some people have and some people don't.
Yeah.
It's a fusion of art and science, and it's a set of skills, basically, that anyone can learn and tap into and also get very good at. Now, everyone is manifesting all the time. I think that's what people don't realize. It's not that there's people that are certified in manifestation and then people that can't manifest. No, everyone is constantly manifesting. Mm. Everything you do and don't have in your life right now, you manifest it.
Mm.
Whether you like it or not, whether you're proud of it or not, whether you are happy with it or not.
Yeah.
And when we start realizing this, we start realizing like, wow, okay, well, what if I was to fine tune my manifestation skills? What if I was to actually focus on what I wanted and get clear on what I no longer tolerate in my life? What if I was to claim my power back and realize that life isn't just happening to me, but I'm actually participating and co-creating in this process, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's been a lot of people recently that have been like, oh, manifestation, thinking it's some airy-fairy thing where you just meditate and pray and hope that something will happen.
Yes.
But when people really realize like, oh, hang on, I'm actually manifesting whether I'm aware of it or not. Wow, okay.
Yeah, right. Do you think men and women manifest differently?
They can. You know, manifestation's it's an interesting fusion of both masculine and feminine energy. And so people that fall naturally into more masculine or more feminine tend to have some different behaviors and ways of being, and they hold their energy a different way. But true manifestation isn't one or the other. It's a fusion of both.
Because mm-hmm.
if we look at it with manifestation, there's a masculine intention of this is what I desire. It's a clarity. It's a penetration. It's a masculine energy, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a feminine energy of then opening up and allowing yourself to receive that, right? It's this dance of both. And
yeah.
So if some people are stuck more in a masculine energy, sometimes men, from what I see,
mm-hmm.
need to do a little more work on opening up that feminine receiving.
Yeah.
Whereas often with women, if they're more in their feminine, they're maybe not so clear on what they want and their masculine energy and like going for it, and they get to do some more work on that. So the key is that we have both these energies inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't maybe conditioned them and done work on them. But when we find that within ourselves and we find that fusion and that balance, we manifest in a really nice, balanced way.
I love that. I need to work on that, I think, because I used to have a lot of vision boards growing up, like a physical board. I'd put it in my room. A lot of the things I think subconsciously came true. Now I use Canva on my phone, so I have it as a wallpaper. But I don't know. Some of the things are just not really happening. Maybe I'm manifesting the wrong things. I don't know. So how does a person, I guess, know if they're manifesting the right way?
Well, the more you learn about manifestation, the more you have a deeper set of tools and you realize like, oh, maybe I was missing the step on clearing out the fears, for example. And you can kind of self-analyze like, wow, that's going on. Or maybe I was doing everything, but I wasn't acting from the higher identity, like
mm-hmm.
step number four. Like,
yes.
Right? So you can see these pieces. And it's also interesting to look at, are you manifesting from the limitations of your mind? Or are you opening up and receiving the manifestations that God, the universe, a higher energy has available for you? Because those are two different ways to manifest. You know, I like to call this manufactured manifestation versus surrendered manifestation.
Mm.
So manufactured manifestation is interesting because it works and you can still get what you want. And I spent many years of my life manifesting from this place. And it often looks like, okay, I did this, now I'm going to do that, and I'm going to push towards it, I'm going to hustle, I'm going to work really hard, I'm going to make it happen, and you like go for it, but at what cost?
Yeah.
And also, you're usually at like 10% of your true potential when you're manifesting from that way, because sometimes the universe is trying to give you something much easier and more amazing and much grander, but your mind can't even see it. Versus if you remember that manifestation is a co-creation and you're aware and you're showing up and you're playing the game, but you're also participating in the process and you're allowing the magic and the synchronicities to flow through you.
Yeah.
When people look at something magical that they've manifested in their life and they look back and it's almost like that would not have happened unless I said yes to that, unless I went to that event, unless I met that person and then that person introduced me to that person, and you trace it back. And you're like, yes, it happened. And there was so much magic along the way.
Mm.
That's surrendered manifestation, when you're open to also being guided by the universe.
So what part, for example, and this, I'm so curious about this all the time, what part does luck have to do with manifestation or in life? Like, are some people just lucky or did they manifest everything?
Yeah, personally, I don't believe there's luck, right? But I do believe underneath the surface that people can be wired with their internal reality to attract things in certain ways. You know, you might say like, oh, this person's so lucky. She always has these amazing work opportunities coming to her, right? Yeah. But when you actually get to know that person and you ask them what they believe about work opportunities, often they'll say, I don't know, like they just show up. Like it's amazing, you know, that good things just happen to me like that. That's their internal reality. They believe that. So then they create a reflection of that in their life. Whereas someone else might say like, oh, I'm so unlucky. I never meet the right man. I always have these other men showing up and, you know, all the good ones are taken and it's really hard. And that's what they then manifest and create as a reflection, right? So I feel it's less about, you know, you're lucky and you're not, but versus how is our internal reality conditioned? And then we create these reflections that might seem very lucky on the outside to people, but it's more about what's actually going on within that person, even if it's unconscious.
What role does gratitude have with manifestation?
It's really powerful. It's such a powerful energy and it's really, really, really important. So if you're grateful for whatever you have in your life, then the world will give you more of that. So if you're looking to manifest a certain amount of money and you might say, oh, I'm not happy with the amount of money that's in my account right now, right? That slows down the manifestation process, right? Because you're putting out an energy that you're not happy with money. Whereas if you can say, okay, I'm calling in this large amount of money. Okay, and my account is here. I want it to be at this larger amount, but it's here right now. But I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful that I have that money here right now. I'm so grateful that it's got me to this place and that I'm able to buy my food or whatever it is that you're grateful for. You are basically saying, I'm grateful for money. Yes, please. I would like some more of it.
Love that. Wow.
It's important.
I have an app on my phone that reminds me every day about what I'm grateful for. It's like, I have to fill out this thing. It's like, what are you grateful for today? And I have to write it. Sometimes it gets annoying, but it is a bit of a reminder. So if someone is listening right now and they don't feel the luckiest, they feel a little unlucky, what are three things they can do, I guess, to change their life today?
Yeah. So firstly, take your power back. Right? Like we talked about, life is not happening to you. When you realize, okay, you are actually in the driver's seat, and at any moment you could choose to completely rewrite your reality. Like that is such a powerful seat to sit in, but you have to choose to sit in that seat, right? So it's choosing that firstly. The second thing is then defining what it is that you actually desire. If you feel like you've been unlucky or things aren't flowing, well, how do you want them to flow? You get to write the script. And we do this in a way, not where you're going to try and control how it happens. Don't write out how will it happen, but just what is it, right? What is that manifestation that you desire? Yeah. The next thing you need to do is to get your energy in the place as if it is feeling like it's already done, okay? Because if you're in an energy of feeling like I'm unlucky and things aren't going to happen, it's going to slow it down. If you're in an energy of, well, I would like it to happen, but it probably won't, it's going to speed it down. But if you're in an energy of choosing to know that you know that you know that you know that it's done because it's your birthright and you're calling it in and so it is, then the chances of it happening a lot faster with ease are a lot higher. So if someone finds it hard to get in this space, because often people would say like, well, Regan, like I've never manifested that before, so I don't know what it feels like. So how am I meant to feel like it's done? Because it's not done yet. An energy you can get into is think about it. Like if I said to you, do you know that you know that you know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning? People would be like, yeah.
With certainty, yeah.
Right. Okay, maybe tomorrow is the day the planet blows up, but like most likely. Yeah. We know that the sun is going to rise. And you can probably even tell me what time, okay? So get into that feeling of what that feels like. And then you take that feeling and you apply it to feeling like your manifestation is already here. Now, if you want to build this muscle, it's like going to the gym. One of the things I get people to do is get your phone and set an alarm, and a nice alarm, not like a brr, brr, but like a good one.
The chimes one.
Exactly, the chimes, the harp, something. And set even as many as alarms as you can throughout the day, like 7 or 8 of them on the hour if possible, right? And when these alarms go off, you can call it your manifestation alarm or a specific goal you're calling in. When it goes off, just stop, and if possible, close your eyes, like 30 seconds, and just feel what it feels like if it was already done in your life.
Well,
okay? And then you do it again and again and again and again. And if you keep going, the strangest thing happens. My clients always say this, like after a few days or a week or whatever it takes for someone, they say, it's so crazy. The alarm goes off and I feel like it's here. I feel like my manifestation is already in my life. And I'm like, good, keep going, keep going. And then eventually the alarm goes off and it is here. Right?
Yeah.
But you've got to do the work to condition yourself energetically to bring your system into alignment with what you're calling in.
Wow. What about, say, for example, how powerful are words? Sometimes we're like, oh, I would die if that happened.
Don't say that. That would be,
please don't. But yeah, how important are words? Because I just feel like sometimes we don't put enough energy or importance on just the things that we say nonsensically, right?
Yeah, it's really important. And we're literally, like, we're frequency beings at the end of the day, right? We're frequency beings. And so, especially when we say something out loud, we're emitting a frequency.
Yeah.
And that frequency is calibrating our whole energetic field, our reality around us, someone else's energetic field. And it's not even the word so much often, but it's the energy we say it from. You know, like someone could say, oh, I love you. Or someone could say, I love you. Right? Like the same thing, but from a different energy.
Different
but the frequency changes, right? And so I think it's really important for people to be aware. Like someone might say, like, oh my God, this is killing me. Like, well, yes, we don't want it to kill you. Or even someone might say, like, oh, you know, I have to do this. I have to pay this bill. No, actually you don't. Like technically, you are choosing to pay it.
To pay it. Yeah.
So yeah, but if I don't pay it, there'll be consequences. Yes, but you're actually still choosing to pay it, right? So the more that we can switch our language into being conscious and empowering,
yeah.
It helps us bring our power back and remember that we're in the driver's seat and that we can shift our reality. But yeah, it does start with our language, which also includes our self-talk. If we're saying these things internally, it's the same thing.
And what about, say, for example, being around negative people?
Just don't.
Yeah. Well, you answered my question. So stay away from negative people. People who complain.
It's really challenging to do all of this work and shift your frequency and set your alarms and do all of this stuff if you have people around you that are trying to pull you down. You know, it's hard. And I know that for people listening, you might say, well, that's my family member or that's someone at work, right? So you can still be around someone, but are you choosing to absorb their energy? And are you letting them affect you or not? Because that also comes back to taking your power back and being energetically responsible, right? Mm-hmm. But as much as possible, clean up your environment. You know, when I started out and I realized this and I was like, wow, like you really are your environment. People say financially, you're the sum of the 5 people that you spend the most time with. But it's not just financially, it's energetically, it's with your health, it's with your relationships, it's all of it, right?
Yeah.
And I looked at the people years ago, I was hanging around and I was like, uh-oh.
You're like, if this is where I'm headed.
This is not where I want to hit, right?
Wow.
And so I actually moved country, right?
Wow.
And I started clearing out my environment. And I'll be honest, I hit a point where there was no one left. And then a story started coming in. Oh, no. They said it was lonely at the top. And I'm not even at the top right now. Like, this is weird. I don't have any friends anymore. And I felt really empty. And then I realized that it was okay to be in the emptiness and that I would actually prefer to be in that emptiness than have all these people around me that were laughing behind my back or telling me like, okay, like good dream, like all of this, you know?
Yeah.
And so I went through the clearing. I went through the kind of being alone in the emptiness. And then I started putting myself in environments with amazing people. I started going to events. I started meeting people. I started connecting and intentionally spending time with people that would lift me up and be excited about my dreams and we're on a pathway to their dreams and that
believe
felt really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
And then something interesting happened the next layer to that was that these people started magnetizing towards me naturally because my energy started changing so much. I started attracting different people.
That's interesting. So people were more attracted. They wanted to be around you and your energy. What about, say, for example, somebody who is looking for a job, they look on LinkedIn and they see like 5,000 applicants. Mm-hmm. Is it about manifestation, or is there, for example, other things they can do, or can you manifest your dream job?
You absolutely can. And so again, you know, if we go through the four steps, the last step is the aligned action, right? Okay. So imagine someone, for example, applying for this job, but putting together their CV and going to that job interview or replying to the email, but they're doing it from the energy of knowing that they're aligned to their dream job. They're doing it from an energy of step number two, expanding into that dream job being their reality. They notice that they had some self-doubt and some fear, but they did the work to clear that out. And then for step four, they got into a place of acting and walking and talking and dressing and being from that higher version of themselves that already had the dream job. Wow. Like someone who puts in a CV, even if it's like through the internet or shows up to a job interview from that space, I'm sorry, like they have such a higher chance of manifesting that than someone else who just goes, oh my God, there's 5,000 applicants. Like, all right, yeah. I would love it, but let's see how we go. Like, okay, here it is. Like, everything's energy at the end of the day.
And I listen to affirmations in the morning. Some people tell me I'm crazy. Do they actually help, or do they help?
They help and they work if your energy is in the right place.
Okay.
Okay. It's less about what we're robotically saying to ourselves and more about the energy that we're saying it from. So, for example, someone could sit there and chant like 30 minutes of affirmations and be like, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, and not believe it at all, right? In my opinion, it's a waste of time. Like, don't do it, right? But someone could say, I am beautiful, and look in the mirror and look into their eyes three times, be done in like 10 seconds, but from an energy of really like choosing that and getting behind that, fantastic, right? And mm-hmm. So it's not so much about the affirmation or how many times you say it or that you must repeat these things every day, but if you can use it as a tool to get your energy aligned in the right place, then great.
Love that.
Same with journaling or meditation or actually any tool. It's there's no point if your energy is not aligned.
So you need to step into your higher self, I guess. Exactly. A higher version of yourself.
Exactly. It's a little bit like, okay, if we go back 5 years ago, you were still you, right? And now if we fast forward you to now, you're still you. You've just evolved 5 years on, right? Now, we can
with more blonder hair.
Yes. If we can go 5 years out into your future, you're still going to be you, mm-hmm. but you will be like more evolved. You would have learned some things. You would have manifested some things in your life. You'll obviously be better looking and younger because that's how it
hopefully,
works.
Hopefully, yes.
But here's the thing. Most people just wait out those 5 years. They just like wait and every year, New Year's resolution, here we go. And like another 5 years ticks past. Or you can be here now and realize that you can access that version of you right now. And then from that place, that's where you ask, okay, this version of me, how do they walk and talk and think and act and be? And you literally download that information. You can write it down, but then you choose to be from that space, act from that place, right? And bring that version of you to the table.
Wow. There's a place on Shakeside Road. They're one of the top car dealerships in the world. And sometimes I just go in there and pretend that I have the money to buy this crazy Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I think they secretly know. I sit in the car and I'm like, I'll come back for the black one. So I don't know. Watch this space, Regan. I'll let you know if that ever happens. Where can we sign up to your courses? Where can we follow your journey online and get in touch with you to really, I guess, teach us how to step into our higher self?
For sure. Yeah. Everything's on reganhillier.com and it's all Regan Hillier on all social platforms. And send me an email or a DM and let me know you came from the show and I'm happy to help you.
Anything else that you'd like to share about manifestation that I've missed? Manifestation 101.
I think you've done really well. But look, I would just say that it would be amazing if people can remember that they really can have it all on their terms in whatever way that they look like for them. And it's not a woo-woo etheric dream. It really can be your reality if you learn the tools and then align your mind and your heart into that space.
So you can have it all, the dream car, the dream partner,
whatever
the dream
want,
job.
Of course. Yeah, we're not about trading one area of life for the other. Like, even Oprah says, you can have it all, but not all at once. And I disagree. I'm like, why? We're not in separate compartments. We're one holistic being. So if we chose that our holistic life all flowed into each other and every area of our life actually continuously upgraded into what we want, then why not?
Well, I'm going back to the Lamborghini dealership. Regan, it's been such an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.